You're listening to 90.9 WILL FM and HD Urbana, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. It's 4 o'clock, which makes it time for Live and Local, your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. Coming up, I will be talking with Joel Alberts, who is director of the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, who have announced their performing arts season for 2013 and 2014. But first, we have a little traditional jazz from Chicago.
Running wild, I've lost control. I'm running wild, mighty bold. I'm feeling gay and reckless too. Carefree mind all the time, never blue. I'm always going, I don't know where. I'm always showing that I don't care. Don't want nobody, it's not worthwhile. I'm all alone and I'm running wild.
A song called Running Wild, performed by Petra's Recession 7. Petra is Petra Van Nous, the vocalist, and they're all based in Chicago, a group that formed in 2008. We'll let Petra explain why. She's on the phone with us here on Live and Local. She and the group are going to be coming to Decatur on Saturday for a presentation of the Juve Jazz Society, a show that's going to start at 4 o'clock, and she's bringing her whole band with her. Thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
So I know you've been asked it before, but it certainly begs the question, when you have a name like The Recession 7, where does that come from?
That comes from our very first gig that coincided with that horrible September of 2008. It was the first time the whole band played together, and we'd all played together in different configurations and many times, but I'd always wanted to do a whole seven-piece kind of traditional jazz band. So it just so happened that we got our first gig at Chicago's Green Mill, and I just decided in the spur of the moment, the club owner said, what's the name of the band? And it was right when everything was falling apart, so I said, The Recession 7, and that was the beginning.
And that's it. And I know you've also been asked the question, what happens once the recession is over, if it's ever over?
Well, a couple of people have said that we should change our name to the Recovery 7, so that is an option. But I think what I always say, which is unfortunately true, but kind of tongue-in-cheek and kind of funny for us, is that when you're in jazz, there's always a recession. So we're continuing the recession whether or not everybody else does, one way or the other.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit, because I did see that was your reply to that question, which is really why I asked it, because I wanted to ask you about this notion of a jazz recession. Is that simply that jazz musicians are always broke, or that the audience for jazz is not what it once was, or does it mean something else?
I think it's kind of a combination of both of those things. I think, you know, all arts in general are probably a little bit of a difficult sell with all the distractions that are around today in terms of entertainment, with home entertainment and movies and videos and everything you can possibly do. So live entertainment in any art form, I think, is a little marginalized. But we do find audiences and we do find a lot of work. It's just a matter of, you know, the work doesn't exactly pay all that well. We're still back in the Depression era. The prices haven't risen for several decades in terms of payment. So we learn how to live like there's a depression on. That was, in fact, a piece of advice that was given to myself and my husband, Andy Brown, who also plays in the band, by one of our mentors early on in our careers as jazz musicians. That was his main piece of advice, is learn to live like there's a depression. So, but honestly, it's been funny. I think since the recession hit, we've been working a lot. So I don't know. It's working in our favor for now. So,
well, I hope
we've never done better. So keep the recession on.
Well, I certainly hope that your success continues and that the recession doesn't. And I might be betraying a certain amount of ignorance here, which I do with great regularity on this show in asking this next question. But somehow, traditional jazz of the sort you're singing, I rarely associate with singers. I always think of it as more of an instrumental form.
I think that that's actually a completely correct assumption, and I think a lot of people do. And a lot of times, like you're saying, in a traditional jazz band, some of the instrumentalists in the band will sing a tune. They're not, you know, singers who sing the whole night, but they'll sing a tune or two.
Every once in a while, yeah.
Yeah, and we actually have that in our band, too. Kim Cusack, who's our clarinetist, is a fantastic singer, as is our trombonist, Russ Phillips, and they always sing a couple tunes during a gig, and that really, people love it. And I'm personally a big fan of instrumentalists who sing. Often those are some of my favorite singers, and Russ and Kim are definitely two of my favorite singers. So I agree with you. I mean, there are some singers who sing with those type of bands. I mean, well, first of all, obviously Louis Armstrong, he sang the hell out of all those tunes, so that's number one. But a lot of female singers that I really like, Lee Wiley or Connie Boswell, Maxine Sullivan, they all sang with those type of bands. But I agree with you. A lot of times it's mostly instrumental. And I think that's one of the things that makes our band a little bit different in a way, is that it is, I guess, kind of fronted by a singer. Although I will say that we have several instrumentals a set, and there's also ample room for improvisation and stretching out on every tune. It's not, I think a lot of singer gigs can sometimes get to be, you know, short solos or short tunes that just feature the singer, but we really try, or I should say I try to feature everybody as much as possible, because that's the whole reason I set up the band, is just to play with these great guys. So I know I want to hear them, and I know everybody else does too, so that's kind of how we run it. I sing a chorus, but then everybody definitely stretches out.
Yeah. You want to say something about a woman who I understand was your inspiration when you lived in New York, a singer whose name I think I have heard of, but I don't know that I've heard her singing.
Yeah. Her name was Barbara Lee, and unfortunately she's also not with us any longer. She was a fantastic singer, and she was actually the protege of the great Lee Wiley, and she kind of, I guess, followed her around early in her career. And then by the time I moved to New York with Andy, my husband, we would go to hear her, and she was at that point, I think, in maybe her late 70s, early 80s. And I had heard of her on recording before that, but when I moved to New York, I was so happy to find out that she was alive and well and singing, and she sounded fantastic. It was not a case where someone had kind of gotten older and lost some chops. She sounded incredible and was always very moving in her performances. So I was really lucky to get to hear a lot of her, and she was nice enough to come out and hear us play, which I think is sometimes a rarity for someone to kind of her stature to come out and check out somebody young and unknown, you know.
So what do you think you've taken from her, or for that matter, from some of the other women singers you admire?
I try to take everything I can, to be honest with you. I'll take anything and everything. Just hopefully their stylings, you know, the way that they... the way they phrase, the way that they swing, their tonality, and their stage presence as well. Luckily, nowadays, there's so much available on YouTube, so many videos for people to see, so you can really kind of study some people that aren't around not just the recording, but also the visual, which I think is an important part to study too.
The whole notion of stage presence.
Yeah, Barbara Lee was actually, she was very much into stage presence. She was very, very kind of grounded in her singing, and it was, when you watched her, it was truly an experience just beyond hearing. She really had a lot of emotion that came across in her face and in her body. She was very, she was an actress at one point too, so I think she was very much into acting the song and very much into planting your feet and looking right at the audience and singing your song. So that was nice to take part in.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm sure folks who come to the Decatur Club on Saturday will have a grand time listening to Petra's Recession 7. Petra is Petra Van Nels, front vocalist of the band out of Chicago. They'll be at the Decatur Club on West Prairie Street in Decatur, presentation of the Juve Jazz Society, Saturday from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. For more information, you can go to juvejazz.com. That's spelled J-U-V as in Victor, A-E, jazz.com. And maybe if you're down in our area again, we might even have a chance to have you in our studio sometime.
That would be great. I would love to. You have such great questions. I can tell you're a true jazz fan. So,
thank you for saying so, and thank you very much for taking the time, and have a lot of fun in Decatur.
We will.
And here are Petra's Recession 7 from their 2012 CD called Live in Chicago. The tune is called Sugar.
And I never may be my sugar, because my sugar is so confectionary. Funny, he never pleads for my money. All I can give him is honey, and that he can get any time. I would make a million trips if I were a bee, because he's sweeter than the sugar candy to me. He's a granulated sugar. I never cheat on my sugar, because I'm too sweet on my sugar. That sugar baby of mine. Sugar is so confectionary. Funny, he never pleads for my money. All I can give him is honey, and that he can get any time. I would make sugar, because I'm too sweet on my sugar. That sugar baby of mine, that sugar baby of mine, that sugar baby of mine.
Petra Van Alst and her Recession 7 out of Chicago, heard here on Live and Local. It's from their Live in Chicago CD, came out last year. Recorded on location at their monthly gig at Katerina's there. And they'll be at the Decatur Club starting at 4 o'clock on Saturday. Presentation of the Juve Jazz Society based in Decatur. And heard on Live and Local here on FM 90.9, where our broadcast is made possible with support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, a Norrison preferred dealer at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. And I swear that underwriting announcement from a company in Bloomington was purely coincidental, in that our next segment here on Live and Local will be covering the upcoming performing arts season at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Lots of things going on, actually starting this summer. And I'm welcoming back to the program the director of the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, a performing arts director technically for the city of Bloomington, Joel Alberts. Thanks for coming back in.
It's nice to be here.
And thanks for letting me know about this season, which looks awfully exciting to me. Got an incredible variety of mostly music, musicals, some dance, some comedy, some stand-up, and a few other things.
I always think it's good for when we have the events to have something that's really for everybody. So if regardless of your demographics, your socioeconomic level, that you were able to pick up one of our brochures and find at least one thing that appeals to you.
And thanks for bringing the brochure along. I haven't been able to look through the brochure, but I have seen the list of what you've got scheduled so far. I mean, you sometimes will add things during
the
season.
We're planning to add some things for this year. We've had a lot of fun getting some shows as they are kind of coming through the area, and you get some different opportunities, and it adds some dynamics to the season, I think, as well, to have some new shows that you can drop in. So we have a few things coming along, and I think it's going to be a pretty fun year this year.
You, as I said, you start things in the summer, which not every performing arts center does. Just really briefly, tell me about this, the Miller Park Summer Theater, and mention here the Missoula Children's Theater.
Bloomington has done a summer theater program for a number of years. The BCPA, the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, has worked with Missoula Children's Theater in the past. It's a fabulous company. In over 2 weeks' time, the company will send two different actor directors in. They'll audition the kids on Monday morning, the week of the performances, have the show cast with between 45 to 60 local kids by noon, have rehearsal that afternoon, and they'll have somewhat intensive rehearsals the rest of the week, Tuesday through Friday, and then Friday night they actually put the show on for the first time. And they will have a performance that Friday night and Saturday night. This is the last week of July, and in the first weekend in August, and we're actually doing two different shows back to back. The first week will be The Secret Garden. The second week will be Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. These are both original productions, but again, engaging a huge variety of kids. So we can, you know, essentially get up to 120 different kids involved in programs there. And the exciting thing for me about this is you should get a lot of these summer theater programs, and kids go to that first performance and they're really excited about what they see and think, boy, I'd love to get involved in something like that. And with the way that this is done, having another audition for another different performance the next week, the kids who are at that first show really could have that opportunity and be up on the stage the next week. And Missoula does a fabulous job, and they're very entertaining shows. And this is a free program out in Miller Park in Bloomington.
Well, that sounds like an incredible event to get involved in, and also an incredible feat to pull that off.
Yeah, I think it takes a certain personality to be able to do this right, but it's a really neat thing. It's a great opportunity for the local kids, and there are so many kids who want to be involved in the performing arts there, and it's a great way that we can engage so many of them in 2 weeks' time.
Well, I wanted to at least mention that before we go on to the first of the those Are those musicals or those are straight ahead?
They are both musicals.
Both musicals. Huh? Yep. So we have already started the musical season.
Absolutely.
In that case. You continue it in, or I guess this comes first, doesn't it? Your Bayou Bash?
The Bayou Bash. This is going to be an outdoor concert. We have a great outdoor concert space on the south side of the BCPA. We have a lawn there. It's Lincoln Park is the actual name of the space. We have a movable stage that we put at the south side of that park, and we can accommodate up to about 3,000 people in that park. This first concert, this is going to be a new thing for us. It's going to be a free event as well. We are going to be doing this as an annual event featuring the music of Louisiana. This year, we're going to be featuring the funk band from New Orleans, Bonorama, who's a great band. It's three trombone players backed by this fabulous funk band. And it's both kind of a listening and visual pleasure to see the show because you've got those three slides working together, and it's really, really fun. But some other local musicians will be opening things up, two local sets at beginning at 6:30. We also have a partnership with one of the Rotary groups in Bloomington, and they're going to be doing a jambalaya service, so you can come and have some cuisine while you're there as well, that's going to be supporting some charity, and enjoy a full night of music for free.
Well, here is a sample from Bonorama out of New Orleans. The tune is called Hard Times off of their EP of the same name here on Live and Local.
You do more than you can, see less than you do. I spell it all. To send the spirits out in hard times, to send the message of love to all my brothers and sisters, like you and me.
There's a little sample of the group called Bonorama, who are three trombonists and a backing band out of New Orleans. They're going to be participating in the Bayou Bash at, well, a presentation of the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts at the, tell me again what CEFCU stands for?
It's CEFCU. It's a local credit union out of Peoria, and they've sponsored a stage that we just placed right out in front of our building. So it is at the BCPA as well. It's just going to be outside.
By the way, if you've never been to the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts and you don't live in Bloomington, you're coming from somewhere else, it is extremely easy to find. I have discovered
that is true, and it's a beautiful building. The building was built in 1920 and was renovated by the city, and we reopened in 2006. And it's a very intimate space. It's 1,200 seats, but you're 75 feet away from the stage, from the very back row of the balcony. So it's one of those spaces that wherever you are, you kind of get this nice intimate experience with the artists that are there, and you really feel like you're in the same room.
Yeah, I've enjoyed seeing and hearing things there. Another, well, now is this also going to be outdoors, or will this be inside the Brugula Festival?
The Brugula Festival is both inside and outside, and this is the third year that we've done this festival. There is an outdoor music component. We have seven bands over two nights, including two headliners. The first night is a alternative rock band out of the Columbus, Ohio area called Red, Wanting Blue. That's been a very popular act on the club circuit. The second night is a band called the David Mayfield Parade. They're based out of Nashville. And David Mayfield Parade has toured with a huge number of artists. The first time that they were in Bloomington was opening for the Avett Brothers a little over a year ago. And David Mayfield is just this... there's kind of this disjoint between the sound that he has and his live performance. He is an incredibly gregarious live performer. There's almost a comedic element to what he's willing to do in this show, but he's got this really wonderful musical sound that's really a nice slice of Americana, and he's a great live performer. I was talking to Seth Avett. He actually came over to our theater to watch a bit of a show that we had going on that same night, and he said that that David Mayfield's live show is one of the best things he'll ever see, and he never misses it. The opportunity to see him, because it's always something different every night.
Well, it's an interesting name, the David Mayfield Parade.
I agree.
What is...
I have no idea, but it's...
that implies it's a different kind of...
Well, the Beatles was taken, so you got to move down the list,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, fair enough. Well, here's a sample of them And this song is called Sea of Heartbreak. Did you tell me before we actually started the show here that's somebody else's?
It's a song. It's been covered by a number of different people. The first time I heard it was on Roseanne Cash's recording The List, and she does a duet with Bruce Springsteen on it. So it's an old song, but I don't know the song writer off the top of my head, but I'm sure somebody who's listening has it, is barking at the radio right now.
I'm sure, and I'm not going to quiz you on it because I know how miserable I am at remembering those things. So, David Mayfield Parade here on Live and Local. They're going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts this summer. David Mayfield Parade in the song Sea of Heartbreak from their self-titled album. They are going to be participating in the two-day Brugala Festival. I guess at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, I assume that means Brugala.
Exactly.
As in beer.
The part that I didn't get to before is that, so we have the outdoor concert going on. The BCPA also has this fabulous 11,000 square foot ballroom in the basement of our building. And in there, we have a partnership with this two-day concert festival. The local JC's has done this Brugala Festival for a number of years. They have over 200 craft beers. All of the money that goes to this goes to charity. And when you purchase your $15 ticket to come into the event, you get a tasting glass that you then take to all of the different beer vendors inside. You purchase tickets in order to get your taste, but you can taste beers all from around the world and a lot of local brew, and it's a really great thing. So there's this music going on outside, the beer tasting going on inside, and a lot of other things in between. So there's food and a lot of other things going on over those two nights. But it's a great atmosphere. It's a lot of fun, and for beer aficionados and music fans, it's a really good experience.
So that's the summer festival. You've got some theater going on, some outdoor and indoor concerts, and then you start the, as you call it, the main stage season with a wonderful sounding group out of Toronto, women called the Good Lovelies. And this is a name that I've heard, and I'm not sure I had actually heard them before.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to hear them at a concert first, or at a It was at a conference that I went to, a booking conference, last September, and the name certainly captures your attention. You want to see what the Good Lovelies look like, and went to their show. And it's this, they're a Juno Award-winning group, so this is the Canadian equivalent of the Grammy. It's this nice three-part harmony. It's got this beautiful sort of front porch blend of sound, and it's these three girls that play these guitars and sing beautifully, and really have a wonderful set of songs that they perform. And it's I think it's going to be an exciting show for us to have to start the season.
The Good Lovelies. This is from their CD called Let the Rain Fall. And the title here looks like Crab Bucket, but you say Crabucket?
Crabucket. This is actually a rap song, and they had a great story that they talk about before they sing this song. But it was made popular in Canada by a Canadian rapper, and they take a nice twangy approach to it, and I think it's really a catchy tune.
Let's give a listen.
Yep.
Took a trip on a bus that I didn't know. Met a girl selling drinks at the disco. Time to get down, cause I'm moving up. Ah, check out the crabs in the bucket. No time to get down, cause I'm moving up. No time to get down, cause I'm moving up. No time to get down, cause I'm moving up.
Ah. The Good Lovelies out of Toronto, Canada, from their CD called Where'd It Go? Let the Rain Fall. Crab Bucket, the name of the tune. heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They are going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts to open the main stage season on September 9th, this coming fall, or nearly into the fall. And I'm talking with director Joel Alberts about the 2013-2014 season, which they have very recently announced, and I guess tickets went on sale just Monday.
Just on Monday morning, absolutely. And we've it's been an exciting week. It's always fun to see what our patrons are really interested in and see how the shows are performing. And, you know, we spend a lot of time planning for it, and it's nice to actually get into the season where you're getting to work on it.
Well, this would I would think that planning a season like this would be enormous fun. And you said just before we played this last music that you had been to a booking conference.
Mm-hmm.
What
yep.
goes on at booking conferences?
Well, it's a primary part of it is it's basically like a large conference thing where there are vendors there. It's all the different agents have their booths set up, and they are there to tell you about the different artists that they represent and who might be coming through your area at different times. In a lot of cases, you go to them with a plan in mind of somebody that you've been looking at having as a part of a season for a while. And sometimes you find out things that are surprising to you and kind of new projects and get a chance to add those in as well. But there are a number of different conferences. There are regional conferences that take place across the country throughout the fall. And then there's a major national conference that's in New York City every January, and all the different arts presenters go to this. And it's like a lot of these things, it's a good networking thing and a good chance to learn some best practices and some new approaches that some other venues are taking, and get a chance to see what the agents have available for you year in and year out.
Do typically at these events a certain number of performers also come?
There are, and they do both a sort of programmed showcase schedule where they have somebody who's involved with the conference who audits and lines up a certain number of performers to do a headlining kind of performance. And when, by headlining, I'm saying they probably do about 15 minutes apiece, and then the stage rotates on into other things. But depending on the place where the conference is being held, there are area clubs and theaters and things that also have artists coming in, and you have an opportunity to move to some of those off-site venues as well and get a chance to see some other performers. And I've picked up a lot of those artists over the years, people who I hadn't heard of before but really have a captivating set and I think will have some appeal for our audience, and that's been a lot of fun.
One of the people you have on your season is that I have heard of. I don't know how, I mean, obviously plenty of people have, but as a NPR station, we're of course broadcast Prairie Home Companion with Garrison Keillor, and I think this woman has shown up there a number of times, obviously sings a lot of other places, named Iris Dement. I'm skipping over some other events in your season, but we just happen to have a recording or two of her. Is she somebody of whom you were a fan and so sought her out, or just thought she would be good in the mix?
You know, she's not necessarily that I was a fan of her. I knew her. I like her music. It's not something that I put on at my home all the time to listen to, or actually I should say ever to listen to. Mm-hmm. But it's the exciting thing. One of the neat things is when you interact with the patrons that come to the theater, you get a lot of opportunity to hear the things that other people are interested in seeing. And sometimes this confluence of what somebody tells you they're interested in, and then again you have a visit with an agent or you get an email about a collaboration that's going on, all of those things kind of come together, and that top-of-mind awareness sort of elevates an artist to the top of the list. And Iris Dement is somebody who had come up time and time again, as I was telling you before we went on the air, when we had filmmaker John Waters in a few years ago. I was visiting with him, and we were talking about female singers, and he mentioned Iris Dement because there's a duet that she does with John Prine that he'd put on his Valentine's Day CD of love songs. And it turns out that she's from Iowa City. She's married to Greg Brown, who is a Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter, a local favorite in Iowa City. I used to live in Iowa City and used to see Greg all the time in the Target store, of all places. And you look at him and you think, hey, vagrant guy in the Target store. And then your friend says, no, that's the Grammy Award winner in town. And But Iris is this really interesting talent. She's from Arkansas originally, and she grew up in this very traditional, like a lot of people in the Mid-South, in this very traditional Christian upbringing. And Christian music and gospel music still really informs a lot of her songs. But she came to singing and songwriting very late in her life, respectively. She was about 25 years old. She had her first recording come out in 1992, did this series of duets with John Prine that earned her a Grammy nomination as well. And then she took a long break. She had a family, and then there was about a 12-year gap between her most recent album and the one before that. And so she has a new disc that came out in 2012 and got a lot of praise. And she's a very interesting voice. I mean, it's a very distinctive voice. And what she's able to do is, I think, very unique for her. And it'll be, again, something very different than what we've presented in the past. And I think that that's something that you look for as well when you're pulling together a presenting season, is to offer new opportunities for your patrons and continue to bring things that maybe you haven't had before, so that new audiences will come and experience a performance at your theater as well.
Well, since you mentioned it, here is that, or one of the duets with John Prine, Iris Dement, from a CD called A Date with John Waters, and this is called In Spite of Ourselves.
There won't be nothing but big old hearts dancing in our eyes, in spite of ourselves.
And that's the name of the song, sung by John Prine with Iris Dement. Iris Dement is coming to the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts in October, on the 26th, this coming fall. And you heard her, you heard them here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, where we're talking with Joel Alberts of the Bloomington Center about their coming concert season. Our program today is made possible by the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, announcing their 2013-14 season featuring Elnora, the Guitar Festival, Hungarian State Folk Ensemble, Gypsy Romance, Meredith Monk, On Behalf of Nature, and Moscow Festival Ballet and more. Tickets are on sale Saturday, August 10th at 10 a.m. Tickets went on sale Monday, this past Monday, for the Bloomington Center's coming season. And in addition to some of the people like Iris Dement, who perhaps may not be known by as many people, you're bringing some folks who are really well known by a lot of people, among them Doc Severinsen and his big band, and also Dr. John and the Night Trippers. He's been around forever, it seems.
And he just keeps sounding better and better, I think, too. And he's one of those guys, too, who has been around such a long time, and this young guard of musicians has kind of paid tribute to him. This is one of those guys who I think has earned this reverence by this new group of musicians. And his most recent CD, Lockdown, was produced by Dan Auerbach, who is one of the frontmen of the Black Keys, which is a very popular band at this point, too. So, I mean, Dr. John is being kind of introduced to this whole new generation of people. He had a performance on the Grammy Awards this year with the Black Keys and some other musicians. And he's just kind of one of those legends at this point, and really excited to have him here. I mean, he's been a major performer for the last 40 years, and a colorful guy, and one of those really distinctive voices. I think there's Dr. John, Leon Redbone, and Louis Armstrong that all they need to do is open their mouth, and you know exactly who it is.
Yeah, and I did get to see I did get to see Leon Redbone. Was it last season that he was?
Yeah, he was here last year.
Yeah, and then he was at. I know he was just recently at the Sangamon Auditorium.
Yeah,
also. So these folks get around. This is a really classic New Orleans song that I never know what it is they're singing about. And I think you told me it's sort of supposed to be a fake Indian chant.
Well, Iko Iko is an Indian chant. It's one of the songs that's a very traditional Mardi Gras tune. Mm. And it's sung by a number of people down there. But I think Dr. John's cover of it is about as classic as it gets.
Let's give a listen.
Mm.
but Dynamo Dina Nina. Talking about here now.
There's an artist you've probably heard many times before, Dr. John Iko Iko. From this happens to come from his big old box of New Orleans. And he and the Night Trippers will be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts on Thursday, November 6th. And one of the well-known artists and ensembles coming there, just a little bit later than that, on December the 5th, is Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra with Wynton Marsalis, of course, very well known. But he's bringing somebody, Joel, that you just told me about, who probably most people don't know, unless they're serious aficionados, and she sounds wonderful.
Yeah, I'd never heard of her before. First of all, the Jazz at Lincoln Center concert that they're bringing in is called Big Band Holidays. It's going to be an entire Christmas set, which I'm really excited about as well. You take the sort of Ellington foundation of Jazz at Lincoln Center and put that arrangement into Christmas songs, I think is going to be really cool. But Cecile McLaurin-Sylvant, she's 23 years old. She's from Miami. Her father is Haitian. Her mother is French. She's an award-winning singer, just one of these great young talents. And that's always been one of the hallmarks, I think, of Jazz at Lincoln Center, is that they've taken these old guard musicians and they've also used this as an incubator for some young talent as well. And she's definitely one of those up-and-coming singers. And Wynton has done some outside projects with her as well, but she's going to be coming along as a vocalist for this, and there's just such a nice, you know, she's just got that rich jazz sound that's just kind of pure Ella, and is really fabulous. But again, for such a young voice to have this much sound, I think is really exciting. But it's going to be great. The first of two Christmas concerts that we have this year, and to have Jazz at Lincoln Center doing it, I think is going to be pretty wonderful.
Well, let's give a listen to her, Cecile McLaurin-Sylvant. The piece of paper I have actually sort of runs out without saying, so I can't see who's the band she's with.
Jean something. Yeah, she has a, like a lot of female vocalists, jazz vocalists, they end up gravitating toward France, and this is a French combo that's backing her up. And but it's off of her recording, Cecile, and it's great sounding stuff.
And this is called After You've Gone.
Now listen, honey, while I say, now that you're telling me you're going away, don't say that we must part. After I'm gone away.
Well, there's a listen to somebody who's going to be somebody, I'm sure. Her name, Cecile McLaurin-Sylvant, and she's going to be joining Wynton Marsalis and the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra for an all-holiday concert, so you have to imagine her singing Christmas songs and the like, and on December the 5th at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, part of their main stage season. And our time is going so fast that we're spending here with director of the Bloomington Center, Joel Alberts. We're sort of front-loading all of the music on what's happening in the first part of the year, but there's a lot that's going on. You have a band that has been around forever, off and on, Herman's Hermits, also doing the holiday show in December 19, and then a tribute show to another classic rock and roll group, the Buddy Holly Experience. Want to mention that a little
bit? The Ray Vaughan, the Buddy Holly Experience, the performer in this, his name is Billy McGuigan, and he is sort of the quintessential Buddy Holly performer. The former band members of Buddy Holly's band, some of his songwriters, I mean, there are so many people who never had an opportunity to see Buddy Holly perform because he died at such a young age. But his music has lived on. It, of course, has informed so much of what is modern rock and roll. And what they have all said is that if you want to have anything that was like the experience from what Buddy Holly did, go to see Billy McGuigan. He just has this style. He has the sound. He really captures the whole energy and experience of it. And he will not only do performances of all of Buddy's signature hits. He will also do some cover songs. So what would Buddy Holly have sounded like if he was doing some other things? But the show has had fabulous reviews. It's wonderful. And he really does have the sound and feel and character of what you would have expected to see at a Buddy Holly concert.
And that'll be happening in 2014 on January 11th. We've skipped over so many things, and we haven't even gotten to some others that happened in the year. I'll just mention some others that perhaps people that will be recognized. You did mention that the Taj Mahal Trio scheduled for September had to cancel, may get rescheduled.
We are working on rescheduling at this point. He had overbooked his schedule in the fall and had to cancel several dates because of some other conflicts that were going on. But again, these are sometimes getting the seasons together is having a moving target, and that may be it for this year. So hopefully we'll get that rescheduled. We're looking at some dates in early 2014.
Okay, so if you've seen that date, that have warning there that one's going to come away. Gaelic Storm, wonderful Celtic group, October the 14th. The Second City, of course, not music, but is returning on October the 5th. Some musicals, of course, Disney's Beauty and the Beast on tour. And
Hello Dolly with Sally Struthers will be with us in February.
That should be fun. One of those people that...
I'm sorry,
January.
Yes.
January 21st.
I blew it.
That's okay. I'm looking at the sheet here. A Hubbard Street Dance Company, wonderful, out of Chicago.
Yep.
On February the 1st.
And they'll
the official...
be doing two world premieres with us. Hubbard
fantastic.
Street 2. Absolutely. And that'll be on February 1st.
They are wonderful. I haven't seen them in years, but they're fantastic. And then the official Blues Brothers review.
The only show sanctioned by Dan Aykroyd and the estate of John Belushi.
Celtic Knights, that's a theater piece.
It's a theater piece. It's another one of those things sort of like Celtic Thunder and a lot of those other shows that come out there that it is a full Celtic experience. It's dancing, it's singing, it's this nice full concert and great way to lead into the St. Patrick's Day holiday.
And lots of other things as well. Check out their website, which is best way I find it is artsblooming.org.
That's right. If you go to artsblooming.org, we'll take good care of you.
And if you want to make a phone call, you can call the box office area. Well, here's the toll-free, 866-686-9541. But if you can't remember that, it's artsblooming.org. Joel Alberts is the director of the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Thank you very much for coming in and let us know about the season.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I look forward to coming back some more.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. This is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana. That's the official word. With translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. We are a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And coming up, we have All Things Considered from NPR. I'm Kevin Kelly. We'll be back with another show tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And one of the other groups that's going to be at the Bloomington Center on January 24th of next year is a lot of fun. They're called the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, and this tune of theirs is called Bongo Beep.